The King with a Heart of Stone.
Egypt, several centuries before Christ, was the greatest nation on earth. Her kings were rich and renowned throughout the world as monarchs ruling with ruthlessness and absolute power. Glittering adornments, rich paintings, and sculptured images of Egyptian gods lined the lordly halls and lofty columns of the king's palace. Amid all this beauty and splendor sat the cruel king, Amenhotep, ruling from his golden throne an industrious, ambitious people. In his egotistical mind, the king was certain that he was favored of the gods and that his rule would never end.
Bacon! Bring more cakes or I'll get a new baker. Butler! Butler, more meat!
This is living. Good things to eat. Endless entertainment. The gods are good to me.
Were you addressing me, Your Majesty?
I was merely observing how great a king I am. The greatest king ever to rule over the greatest nation on earth.
Long live the king.
Long live the king.
Back to your feasting, everyone.
Yes, yes, Lucky, don't just stand there. What do you want?
Ambassadors seek an audience with His Majesty.
Ambassadors?
Two of them, Your Majesty.
Whom do they represent?
The King of Kings.
King of Kings? Never heard of him. What country does he rule over?
The ambassadors didn't say, Your Majesty.
That's odd. A king about whom I've never heard.
I'll tell them to go away.
You'll do nothing of the sort.
Yes, Your Majesty.
It'll be interesting talking to them, finding out just who this King of Kings is. Audience granted. Show them in.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Quiet! Quiet! This is not a banquet room. This is my throne room. Clear this room. I am about to give audience.
Two ambassadors from the King of Kings to see His Majesty, great and mighty monarch of all Egypt.
You may come forward.
Long live the king.
Arise. You are ambassadors from the King of Kings?
Yes, Your Majesty.
And the King of Kings rules where?
The universe, Your Majesty.
The universe?
By right of creation. He rules the entire universe, Your Majesty. By His might, all things exist.
He doesn't rule Egypt. I do.
As ambassadors of the King of Kings, in His name, in the name of Jehovah, we request that you let the Israelites go to the wilderness, that they may hold a feast unto Him.
Who is Jehovah that I should obey Him? I know not Jehovah. Neither will I let Israel go.
The God of Israel met with us and requested that we come into thy presence, O King, to seek permission for the Israelites to go 3 days' journey into the desert and there sacrifice unto the Lord our God. If perchance, O King, you refuse to let Israel go, the Lord will bring disaster upon you and upon your people. All the firstborn of the land will die.
I know who you really are. You're Moses, and you're his brother Aaron. You can't scare me. I've heard how you're exciting my slaves and hindering them in their work. You've caused them to cease their labors and rest 1 day out of every 7. I forbid you to ever interfere in my affairs again. Lucky, show these men out. Out, do you hear?
Long live the king.
General, come here, General.
Yes, Your Majesty. At your service, Your Majesty.
You know the two men who were just here?
Moses and Aaron. Yes, Your Majesty.
I think that they're trying to arouse the Israelites to revolt from my service. What do you think?
That could very well be, Your Majesty.
This affection is the result of idleness. I'll see that they have no more time for dangerous scheming. I'll tighten their bond and crush out their independent spirit. Scribe, issue orders, yet today, to the taskmasters that the Israelite slaves are not to be furnished any more straw to make bricks. They will gather the straw themselves wherever they can find it. Yet they are to make as many bricks as before.
This order brought much distress among the Israelites. And because they were unable to produce as many bricks as before, the Israelite officers were cruelly beaten. At the command of God, Aaron and Moses once again entered the lordly halls of the king.
O king, great and mighty monarch of all Egypt, Jehovah, the Lord of hosts, requests that you permit his people to journey 3 days into the wilderness to worship and sacrifice unto him.
You claim that the King of Kings, the God of Israel, is an all-powerful God and rules by right of creation?
Yes, your majesty.
Prove it. Prove that he is all-powerful. Prove it by some miracle.
Your majesty, you see the rod Moses carries? A common shepherd's rod?
Of course I see it.
Watch it closely. I take it in my hand and drop it to the floor, like this.
A snake.
Yes, Moses' rod has turned into a snake. A live, wriggling snake.
My wise men and sorcerers can do that. My magicians are just as powerful as you. You claim to be ambassadors of an all-powerful god. You're imposters. You're not ambassadors of a superior being. Get you out of my sight. I will not let Israel go into the wilderness and worship their god.
The overflowing of the River Nile was the source of food and wealth for the Egyptians, and the river was therefore worshipped as a god. As usual, the king went to the banks of the Nile the next morning for his daily worship and devotions.
Greetings, your majesty.
How'd you two get here? Know you not that this is the time of my private devotion?
Our king sent us, your majesty. We are to repeat the request that you grant permission for the Israelites to go into the wilderness to worship and sacrifice to their god.
No!
Our god will bring a plague upon his majesty and upon Egypt.
I will never let Israel go from their labors.
Then at the command of God, I stretch out my rod and turn all the waters of Egypt into blood.
Moses stretched out the rod, and immediately the sacred river Nile ran blood. The fish died, and the river became offensive to the sense of smell. For 7 days this plague continued, and still Pharaoh's heart was like stone. He would not let Israel go. Again Moses stretched the rod over the river. This time, frogs came up from the river and spread over the land. Frogs overran the houses, took possession of the bedchambers and the baking ovens. Frogs swarmed even the palace of the king.
Frogs! Frogs! I can't stand them! Get rid of them!
But how, your majesty? They're considered sacred. We dare not kill them.
Send for my magicians! Get rid of these frogs! That's an order!
Your majesty, we can produce frogs, but we cannot get rid of them.
You claim to be all-powerful.
We are, but these frogs, your majesty, being sacred, are beyond our power.
Send for Aaron and Moses. I'll humble myself and beg them to remove the frogs. Of you, Moses. Get rid of these frogs, and I will let your people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord their God.
At the command of Moses and Aaron, God caused the offensive frogs to die, but their putrid bodies remained, polluting the atmosphere. But when Pharaoh saw there was respite from the frogs, he hardened his heart.
Let the Israelites go? Never!
Again at the command of God, Aaron and Moses lifted up the rod, and the dust of the earth turned into lice.
Magicians, I command you, duplicate this trick of Moses. Turn dust into lice as he did.
We will try, your majesty.
Well?
It's impossible, your majesty. We cannot turn dust into lice. Only the god of creation can do that.
Your magicians are right, your majesty. Only the god of creation can produce life. It is this god that the Israelites wish to worship in the wilderness.
No, they cannot go!
Another judgment will be visited upon you, O king. unless you let Israel go into the wilderness.
Appeal all you wish. Make threats. My slaves cannot leave.
Then, O king, I pronounce the next judgment upon you and upon Egypt. At exactly noon tomorrow, large and venomous flies, whose bite will be painful to man and beast, shall swarm over Egypt, except that they shall not come nigh unto Goshen, where God's people dwell.
At the exact appointed time the next day.
Blackie, close that window.
It is closed, Your Majesty.
Don't all these flies get in here.
It's the curse pronounced upon us by Moses and his brother Aaron.
What time is it?
Noon, Your Majesty. Exactly noon.
Just as he said it'd be. How do you account for it, magician?
No, only a god could do such a thing, Your Majesty.
You suggest that perhaps Moses and Aaron actually do represent a god? A god who creates and controls things?
There is no other explanation, Your Majesty.
If that actually be true, I'll have to let the Israelites go, else sooner or later their god, through Moses and Aaron, will do all manner of things. Perhaps even destroy Egypt. And me!
Exactly, Your Majesty.
Lackey! Find Moses and Aaron. Ask them to come here as soon as possible.
Arise. I sent for you, Moses. You and Aaron to...
These flies are unbearable. And I... If I permit you and your people to worship your God, you can and will get rid of these flies?
God can and will. Yes, Your Majesty.
All right. I give permission for my slaves to worship and sacrifice to their god right here in Egypt. No need for them to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness.
Were we to sacrifice here in Egypt, sacrifice the animals you and your people consider sacred, we would be stoned to death. According to your law, to slay even one sacred animal is a crime punishable by death. No, Your Majesty, we cannot accept such an offer. We must be permitted to go into the wilderness and there worship and sacrifice.
All right. Permission is granted. You may take my slaves 3 days' journey into the wilderness. Only, I beg of you, get rid of these flies!
God will remove the plague of flies. However, Your Majesty, I must warn you against dealing deceitfully with us.
Remove these flies, and the Israelites may go and worship their God. I promise.
The plague of flies was removed, but the king, whose heart had become hardened by persistent rebellion, refused to keep his promise.
It doesn't make any difference what I promised. My slaves cannot leave. That is final.
When Aaron and Moses were informed that the king had changed his mind and would not let the children of Israel go into the wilderness to worship God, they brought yet another plague upon Egypt. All the sacred animals and beasts of burden of Egypt were destroyed. Still, the king was obstinate.
No, they cannot go.
Has my king considered the effect of all this on his land and his people?
I refuse to be persuaded.
I understand, Your Majesty.
A wise ruler has to harden his heart against what people will think. He has to do what he knows is best.
My king is a very wise ruler.
Of course I am.
Moses was next instructed to sprinkle ashes toward heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. The fine particles of ashes spread over all the land of Egypt, and wherever they settled, boils broke forth with blains upon man and beast. The priests and magicians were unable to stem this loathsome pestilence, and the nation, realizing that the priests and magicians could not protect even their own bodies, began to see the folly in trusting anyone representing lifeless gods of stone and wood. Still, the heart of Pharaoh grew harder.
I will not let him go. Never.
A plague of hail, accompanied by rain and fire, was next threatened upon Pharaoh.
An empty threat. Rain and hail are unusual here in Egypt. And never have we had fire from heaven.
But the storm came as predicted.
Aaron and Moses, I have sinned. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat your God to stop the mighty thundering and hail, and I will let you go, even into the wilderness, to worship and sacrifice unto your God.
As soon as I have gone out of your city, O king, I shall raise my arms, and the thunder and hail shall cease, so that all may know that the earth and all that in it is belongs to the Lord God of heaven. But as for you, O king, I know that you will harden your heart, for you care not what happens to your people. You will not let Israel go into the wilderness.
Moses and Aaron went forth from the palace, out into the storm, unheeding the fury of the tempest. And Pharaoh and all his court witnessed the power of Jehovah to preserve his messengers. Later, the king was warned that there would be another plague unless he softened his heart and permitted Israel to worship their God.
I cannot let the Israelites go. I will not.
Your Majesty, we are your counselors. We beg of you to reconsider, to soften your heart before it is too late.
No!
All our cattle are dead. Many of our people were killed by the hail. Forests are broken down, crops destroyed. We are fast losing all that has been gained by the labor of these Israelites. The whole land is threatened with starvation.
I am king! I shall do as pleases me.
How long, O king, shall Aaron and Moses be a snare unto us? Let the men go. Let them serve their God. Know you not that Egypt is already destroyed?
All right. Send for Aaron and Moses. I will talk to them. If I let you go to serve your God, just who do you plan to take with you?
We will all go, Your Majesty. Our little ones, our old people, our sons, our daughters, our flocks and herds. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord God of heaven.
Have you no love or regard for your women and children? It would be folly to take them to the wilderness. Let your men go and serve your God, but leave your women and children here, where they are safe.
His Majesty pretends deep interest in the welfare of our women and children, but his real object is to keep them here as surety for the return of the men.
How dare you talk to me like that? Get out! Get out!
Yet another plague, that of the locust, was visited upon the king and his people. Locusts filled the sky till the land was darkened, and they devoured every living green thing. Again Pharaoh sent for Aaron and Moses, and again he promised to let the Israelites go into the wilderness. But once again, when the locusts had been taken away, Pharaoh hardened his heart and refused to keep his promise. The people of Egypt were ready to despair. The plagues that had already fallen upon them seemed almost beyond endurance, and they were filled with fear for the future. The nation had worshipped Pharaoh as a representative of their God, but many were now convinced that the God of Israel was the one and only true God. The Israelite slaves, so miraculously preserved during the plagues, were becoming confident of deliverance. Their taskmasters no longer dared oppress them. Throughout Egypt, there was a secret fear that the enslaved race would rise and avenge their wrongs. Everywhere, men were asking with bated breath,
"What will come next?"
Suddenly, a darkness
settled over the land. A darkness so thick that it could almost be felt. Fear wrung from Pharaoh a further concession.
Go. Go into the wilderness. Remove the darkness, and you may even take your women and children with you.
We will not go, O king, unless we take with us every head of cattle and sheep and everything that is ours.
You refuse to accept my offer?
Yes, your majesty.
Get out! Get out of my sight, and never let me see you again, lest I order your immediate execution.
Thou hast spoken well, O king. We shall see your face no more.
Get out! Get out!
The king dared not actually harm Moses, for Moses was considered a great man by the Egyptians. They desired that the Israelites be permitted to leave Egypt. It was the king and the priests who opposed to the last the demands of Aaron and Moses. Moses and Aaron had been forbidden on pain of death to appear again before Pharaoh. But a last message from God was to be delivered to the hard-hearted monarch. So again, Aaron and Moses came before Pharaoh, this time with a terrible announcement.
Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But none of the children of Israel shall die. That ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites.
Suddenly, just at midnight, there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not one home where the firstborn did not die. Even the firstborn of King Pharaoh died.
Oh, my son, my son. Would that I had not hardened my heart. You would still be alive.
The shrieks and wails of mourners filled the air. All Egypt stood aghast at the overmastering horror. King Pharaoh was reminded how he had once exclaimed,
"Who is Jehovah that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not Jehovah, neither will I let Israel go."
Jehovah must be the one and only true God. He has proved it by these miracles and plagues. I should have listened to Aaron and Moses. Oh, my son, I am humbled before the God of heaven. Lackey, send for Aaron and Moses. Ask them to please come here. Thank you for coming, Aaron and Moses. I have sinned before your God and before you. And I plead with you, rise up and get you forth from among my people. Take your women and children, your herds and flocks, as you have requested. Go and serve the Lord your God before we are all dead men.
And thus it was that the king's heart of stone was melted. Before the break of day that morning, about 1 million men, women, and children, together with their herds and flocks, marched triumphantly out of Egypt on their way to freedom from slavery. Free to serve and worship God according to the dictates of their conscience.